Good morning. Welcome to worship on this festival, 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Festival for two reasons. We're celebrating the blessing, back-to-school blessing for the children and youth. And also our chorale is back, and we're grateful for their worship leadership. I invite all who are able to stand for our brief order of confession and forgiveness. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On that word of grace and promise, I invite you to take a moment for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, God gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, enliven and preserve your church with your perpetual mercy. Without your help, we mortals will fail. Remove far from us everything that is harmful, and lead us toward all that gives life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading is from Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. So you, mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity. But their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now you, mortal, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn back from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, if another member of the church sinned against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen, even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Our focus this morning will be on that last verse. Very familiar verse. We quote it often, especially when there aren't very many people at church. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. To get there, though, on that focus, we need to back up a bit. Many of you have probably talked about Matthew chapter 18 with its kind of management of how to address conflict in a church community. The goal of it is to regain the brother or sister. And you've probably learned the steps or have had cause to talk about these steps. If someone sins against you, wrongs you in some way, before anything else, go talk to the person individually. Do not go talk to someone else about it and make it a bigger problem. The text then says that if they hear you, you've regained them. If they don't listen, bring two or three others. If they hear you, you've regained them. And again, if that doesn't work, only then do we include the larger assembly. It's probably the most practical section of the New Testament on dealing with conflict. There are other places, but this one, concise and practical. And it has become so commonly emphasized that it sometimes can be called upon like a little handbook for how we ought to behave together. And you might have seen a document or heard someone say, well, if you're in conflict, simply follow Matthew 18. And then they don't actually cite the rest of it. They just assume you know. But it's also kind of humorous for me, because when they say, go follow Matthew 18, what they really mean is Matthew 18, colon, 15 to 17. Rarely do we seem to be talking about the whole chapter. But what happens if we do think about this entire chapter? To back up a bit of where we go, the chapter begins with Jesus calling on the disciples in humility and encouraging to welcome the little ones, in this case a little child, and that to welcome them and not put any stumbling blocks before them at all. And then right before this passage, we have the very famous parable of the lost sheep. The parable where one sheep is led astray and wanders off, and the shepherd leaves the 99 to go find it. Then we have our passage today, and then the chapter continues on a discourse about forgiveness, which will be our text for next week. But I'd like to especially consider, for context of our text today, the parable of the lost sheep, directly before this. And what does it look like to leave the 99 sheep for one lost one? See, Jesus tells that parable, most of you know it very well, and we mistake it for standard business advice. We assume that's what any shepherd would have done in the first century, but it's terrible advice. Why on earth would you abandon 99 sheep to go seek out one? That sheep could be anywhere. It would be a long search. Any farmer would tell you that you first go and secure the rest of the flock, ensure they're okay, and then leave to go try to find the one. But that's not what the parable says. It says the shepherd leaves the 99 and finds the one immediately. And if you did that in real life, left 99 sheep completely unattended, and that's sort of like leaving a class of kindergartners unattended for quite a while. It's not going to go well. The rest of the sheep are going to wander off. So then when you come back, you might have found the one and discovered now you have 99 more to search out. Jesus' parable is not just good standard business. So then why is he saying it? Because there's something different, Jesus said, about this community called the church, that he actually uses that word in our text today, than what makes for good business sense. And you probably know that parable well, talk about it from time to time, and it's a lovely little narrative. But I'd like us to ask today, in Matthew's gospel, what does it mean for that parable to be right before our passage of regaining a brother or sister in conflict? What does it look like not to make the better business decision and be ready to cut our losses on the one lost sheep? And remember our passage today. The focus is all about regaining the brother or the sister, not cutting your losses. And it is from this context we have this famous verse that we started with. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Knowing the parable before it, now that verse means something totally different. It's not just about when only a few people show up on a particular day. It's about those lost sheep that the shepherd seeks out, even if it's just two or three. Even if the two or three are in conflict, Jesus is among them. But what it does not say is that those two or three gathered are now in full agreement. Throughout this passage, I think we sometimes assume it says something it doesn't quite say. The goal is to regain your brother or sister. But the means are really interesting. It says when you confront someone with an offense or a sin that they have caused against you, if that member listens to you, you have regained that one. Do you notice that? If they listened to you. It brings up, in fact, listening or refusing to listen four times in three verses. It doesn't say if they agree with you, they see the error of their ways, and thereby repent, then you've regained them. It just says, if they listen to you, if they hear you. And I know some of you might say, you know, Pastor Ben, that's kind of semantics, that it must imply repentance. But I think it's striking that it doesn't say that. Remember the conclusion, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there among them. And remember the parable of the sheep? That was not very good business practice. Well, maybe this isn't very efficient business practice either. Efficient business would be to confront someone so we can solve this thing and then go along merrily like nothing ever happened. And frankly, often in efficient business practice, it's the boss who goes and solves it and then tells everyone it's been solved. But of course, if it was that simple, then probably it wouldn't be all that much of a conflict. But here, it has the much more modest statement, if they listen to you. Listening to someone isn't necessarily agreeing with them, but it is being present. They might not agree, but they keep showing up. In fact, the tenor of this whole passage is that when you are in conflict, you continue to go again to the one who sinned against you and not give up. To continue showing up and being present. To listen to one another. Be present together. Where two or three are gathered, there I am among them. We can be present with one another because when we keep showing up, when we keep listening to one another, even if we don't agree, Jesus is there too. The real presence of Christ, the fullness of Christ in community. There's actually something called a theology of presence. That when we are really present with one another, wherever that is, that space is a presence of the holy. And I really learned that theology of presence and the way tension and community can be a space for the holy when I was a chaplain intern 2 years ago at the hospital. And frequently, when I was called into rooms with critical patients, then the whole family was there. And in fact, that was the only way they were allowed to be there because of COVID restrictions. So everyone's tensions was really high. And I'd walk into a room where years and years of family dynamics and drama are all being consolidated in one little 15-minute visit. So I, a seminary student with nearly no training in this at all, would go into that space. And when I started, I tried to intervene in situations, tried to get them to talk through things. And the longer that summer went, though, what I brought... had nothing to do with insight or perspective. All I brought into the room was presence. And I learned just to go sit as close to possible to the patient and just invite them, especially the patient, to speak. Be present with them in the midst of all this family around who are emotionally spinning wildly. And especially if the patient was cognizant enough and spoke to me, it was often very deliberate, and it could bring the chaos of the room down to a center. Just be present and let your presence change the dynamics of that hospital room. And one scene that continues to stick with me was after, this was toward the end of the summer, after doing this process, an adult daughter who had been sitting by, and frankly very distracting and unhelpful, finally slowed down and said to her mother, "I think I get it now, Mom. It's time for us to be sad." The conversation we had been having wasn't leading there. I was about to leave, in fact, because we were going nowhere. It wasn't about me. But something about my being there allowed the daughter and her mother to be present with one another enough to listen to each other. And while I was about to leave, I ended up staying there for about 30 minutes, simply observing, more than anything else, their conversation that was deep and honest about where they were emotionally, spiritually. That hospital room was a space of the holy for at least those few minutes. I had to learn that summer, do less. Don't try and fix something, but simply trust that the presence of Christ can and will act in community when we're present with one another. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there among them. I'm sure after I left that room, over time, those same family dynamics came back. But the healing moments, the holy moments, are when we're present with one another. Not just when we agree. And we can, because it's Christ who's doing the work. It's Christ who forgoes good business sense and leaves the 99 to find that lost one. It's Christ who's present at all times. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Remembering the caring and generous ways of God, let us pray for the church, the whole creation, the world, and any in need. Merciful God, show your whole church where repentance is needed, and in places of conflict, lead us to reconciliation and deep listening. Help us to forgive others as we ourselves have been forgiven, and to love one another as you love us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, enable us to live in harmony with all that you have entrusted to our care, and forgive us where we have failed to faithfully steward your creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, guide those in positions of authority to create and uphold just laws. Move global citizens to treat all people with dignity, and guide our conversations with one another. Empower us all to strive for peace and justice in all the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Blessed God, comfort all people in need of your healing presence. Today we remember before you Robin Babb, Joyce Brooks, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Dal Haverland, Doug and Jody Martin, Lou and Kathy Marzano, Jeff and Gretchen Seamus, and the family and friends of David Joe. For whom or what else do the people pray? For all these we've named aloud, for those we hold in our hearts, and for those who suffer in silence, in secret, or in shame, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we remember those in places that are ripped apart by natural disaster, particularly lifting up the people of Lahaina as they continue to recover from the fires that devastated their community and their livelihood. And we also pray for the people of Morocco. Help the recovery efforts and those that are grieving to feel your presence and to know that you are with them. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the saints who now find their rest in your splendor. Bring healing and comfort to all who mourn. Nurture us in our faith until that day when we are reunited with all of our loved ones who have joined the church triumphant. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we worship together in this community and throughout those who are worshiping with us at the Springs and from home and from places unknown, we invite you now to share the peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you always. Just a few words of our life together. This week is a kickoff week for Together Tuesdays. Programming resumes this Tuesday evening with a meal between 5:15 and 6. All are invited. Then following the meal is children's choir, a rehearsal, and also music together for our little littles. And you can get more information about that by checking Music Together Eugene. If you have a grandchild or child under the age of 5, there's a special program just for them. And then finally on Tuesday evening also is adult education with Pastor Ben. So encourage you to come and enjoy the meal and stay for the activities. I also want to thank people who helped with the Christus House cleaning yesterday in preparing the house for the arrival of new residents. Thank you to all those hands that made lighter work. It wasn't light work, but it was a little lighter with all the people who showed up. I want to invite you to save the date for 2 weeks from today where we'll celebrate Stephen Ministry at Central. Here's an opportunity for you to hear more about this ministry, either to become a Stephen minister yourself or to hear what they do in terms of caregiving and care receiving. This is a ministry of presence, and it truly is about listening, deep listening. And so we celebrate that. It's resuming that ministry that's been going on at Central for over 30 years, and invite you that day, 2 weeks from today, to a breakfast served between the services, a brunch that will be served and hosted by the Stephen Ministry team. And so we invite you to come to the worship service and then attend the brunch. It's going to be plenty of food, so don't eat beforehand. It's not a simple meal. It's a elaborate and gracious meal that they're providing. And you'll hear more about this important ministry as we celebrate their leadership among us. Finally, a mention about if you're interested in membership and you want to know more about Central and how to connect, please talk to either Pastor Ben or myself. If you're a longtime member and you wish to find out ways to connect, talk to us too. We'd be happy to hear and direct you to a ministry opportunity. With those announcements, I'll have us continue with the offertory response.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of power, God of plenty, all things belong to you. We bring your gifts to the table that all might be fed. From us, form us into your body, the body of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, holy God, through Christ our Lord, who rose beyond the bounds of death, and as he had promised, poured out your spirit of life and power upon the chosen disciples and upon us. At this, the whole earth exults in boundless joy. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts and minds and ears to receive the bread of life, the gifts of God given freely to us, the people of God. We invite you to come forward down the center aisle today and receive the bread and then dip it into the cup. The cup has either red wine or white grape juice. And the chorale will be serving you in the choir room, so please remain up there unless you prefer to come down. Please remain seated this morning. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Life-giving God, through this meal you have bandaged our wounds and fed us with your mercy. Now send us forth to live for others, both friend and stranger, that all may come to know your love. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I have you staying seated because I'd like to invite Evan and Louisa up for our back-to-school blessing. I know a number of children are probably coming to the garden this morning, or I'll see them at children's choir this week and have a special present for them. But Louisa and Evan, are you coming up for me? Here we are. I saw you guys at the beginning of church. I brought my backpack. Oh, and Sam's here. And Paul, too. Great. Good.
Yeah,
you guys...
You got shark on your...
I do. So I have my backpack to show you a few things that I carry around in here.
What is it?
Okay, first of all, do you guys keep this in your backpack?
Sometimes
a bottle of water. Sometimes you forget yours. Oh, water is so good. I get thirsty, and I keep water always with me. That's one thing I keep in my backpack. Another thing I keep, it always reminds me that God is with me, because in the old times, after Jesus went to heaven to be with God the Father, if they wanted to show that there were Christians around, they drew a fish in the sand or in the dirt, the sign of a fish. Do you have one like this? Yeah, well, here, I've got another one for you. You can put it on your backpack and remind you that every... Here, it's in here.
In that one.
Yeah. Oh, let's see what we got. Here we go. Four of them. There you go. Here you go. Wait, that'll get mixed up with your brother. Let me get you a different color. There you go. So these will remind you, even though no one else will necessarily know, it'll remind you that God is with you all the time, at school, at home, at play, and you can have that fish on your outside just to show that you're a Christian and you belong to God. The other thing I thought, you know, you always need snacks, don't you?
Yeah.
I like to keep snacks in my... I like to keep snacks in my backpack. Yeah. So... I'm sure you like to keep snacks too, right?
They
don't let you at school?
Yeah.
Lunch boxes, you could put them in your lunch box, yeah. Or you could have them as an after school snack, huh? And we want you to know that all the people at this church love you very much, and we want to wish you a blessed back to school. There's another prize, yeah. You know me. You know me. I'm telling you, there's another thing that reminds us when we remember, we blow into this and it reminds us that the breath of God is in us.
I'm going to let it go and it's
you. You mean like that? Well, here's another one. Whoa. Here, you could take one and I will... There you go. Okay, and I will let you keep those, but would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we ask that you bless these children as they return to school, that their time in school may be a time of growing and learning and being respectful of their teachers and their classmates, and also knowing that you are always with them at home, at school, at church, away from home, at play. We want you to watch over them, protect them, and keep them safe from all harm. All this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Evan, here's another one. Yeah, we'll pick those up later. Well, could you pick those other two up for me as you go back? And then I'm going to give a blessing to everybody. And listen to the last song. It's going to be another blessing for you, okay? Thank you for coming today. I'll see you on Tuesday night. Whew. There's the breath of God in you, Louisa. Lulu and Paul, you got that breath in you, huh? Your brother can help you. Would you stand for the benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Okay, go in peace. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Yeah, it was snoring, telling me that there's something with me that's taller than me and prettier. No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. And that I would know your name, so Meryl. And I thought of Meryl Streep. So
yeah.
It's not as common, but it's easily memorable.